Upper90Studios.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the channel. On the recent videos, I showed you how selling key premium assets frees up funds to improve the squad depth. I'm spreading the risk instead of relying on fewer players to deliver big points. The trick was to find the highest scoring combination of players. Through experimenting and lots of setbacks, I've stumbled upon a team structure that has delivered big green arrows in the last three game weeks. This week, 70 points. Upper 90 Studios is now clear of the Millionaires Club in the overall rank with close to 750 total points. Still a lot of work to do, and we have a quick deadline approaching. Game week 15 starts on Tuesday, so let's get right into it. The easiest way to understand why I took a negative 8 hit to sell De Bruyne, which I can't believe I just said that, is to load the previous team from game week 13. Keeping this team balance was the key to last week's transfer plan. As you can see, I was using a rotation system between Lundstrom and Mount. The initial plan was to buy Son, no other transfers. I accepted that De Bruyne could score against Newcastle, especially after a man-of-the-match performance game week 13. It was the same with selling Salah and Sterling in recent weeks, but it's the combination of the new players I brought in their place that resulted in 79 points game week 12, 80 points game week 13, and now 70 points game week 14 with some hits mixed in. So plan A was Son in for De Bruyne, then Abraham got injured. With Abraham out, I was putting more pressure on Mason Mount, but he was benched in his previous two games, and that was before Barkley and Hudson-Odoi returned from injury. So I'm targeting players with a lower risk of rotation as we head into December. Another factor was our fixture difficulty cheat sheet that listed West Ham as a red opponent for Chelsea attackers game week 14. To fix these issues, I wanted to hit on two key elements. The first was to stick to the original plan of buying Son in for De Bruyne. That was my first instinct, so I didn't want to ignore it just because Abraham was out. The second was to retain the same team structure with a strong rotation system for the festive period. The price difference between Son and De Bruyne opened up all new options that I might have never previously considered. And so on Friday night, with just minutes before price changes and a price drop for Abraham, I went for it with another big transfer hit. This time I took a negative 8 hit to make 3 transfers. Transfers out De Bruyne, Mount, Abraham. Transfers in Son, Dele Alli, Ings. De Bruyne is now matched by Son. Abraham is matched by Dele Alli. Mount is matched by Ings. I can continue to use Lundstrom as a strong first player off the bench or in a rotation system. This new system involving Lundstrom and Ings gives me a benching headache game week 15 because they both have great fixtures. Sometimes these problems, they actually help us to uncover different transfer plans. For example, should I sell Pope for Henderson and continue to bench Lundstrom? I'm going to show you my transfer plan later in the video. So game week 14 began with De Bruyne smashing it against Newcastle, as expected. In fantasy, we have to accept the risk of transfers backfiring. It's about controlling how we react instead of hiding and shutting off the phone. I sold Sterling and De Bruyne, but I controlled my fear by watching the Manchester City game and taking notes. Hiding only makes things worse because the more information we have, the more we can control. As it turned out later on Saturday, Son, Alli, and Ings combined for 8 bonus points. Their bonus points alone made up for the negative 8 hit. By far the most important factor when making transfers is instinct, but there are other factors to consider. By selling Abraham and Mount for a profit, I was able to avoid their price drops. Of course, points is the priority. You should absolutely keep a player you think can score, even if his price is going to drop. Another factor is ownership with strong FPL managers in the Elite 64 League. I wanted to use Son as a differential since most experts, they wouldn't dare sell De Bruyne for Son, and I can't blame them. But the price difference between Son and De Bruyne, that opened up a move for Son plus Dele Alli. And zero players in the Elite 64 owned Dele Alli game week 14. He was a massive differential. Son, Dele Alli, Ings, Chilwell. I'm strategically picking apart the weaknesses in the Elite 64 League with differentials in key positions. There's still a lot of ground to make up, so don't mistake this attitude for cockiness. My back was against the wall. I had to take that negative 12 hit a few weeks ago, and I've been going all in for the past three game weeks because my season was in real trouble. I had to do something drastic. Now let's talk tactics with a game week 14 review. This time, I'm going to go by teams instead of positions, and I'm going to include my thoughts on other players I don't own. So here we go. Game week 14 review, Burnley, Nick Pope, 1 point. All that hard work in the first half by Burnley, then one lapse in concentration by Nick Pope, with seconds left before halftime, and it's all undone. Pope, he did not cover that near post, and he was slow to react to Zaha's shot. Two defensive mistakes, two goals conceded by Burnley. From this game, the standouts were Guaita in goal for Palace, PVA with his advanced positioning as a defender, and Zaha is also an option when he's in good form. From Burnley, maybe Chris Wood was unlucky not to score. Leicester, Ben Chilwell, 2 points, 10 out of 10 for that theatrical dive in the box, and he somehow managed to avoid a yellow card. That was his most notable contribution in this game because Everton were the better attacking side, and somehow they ended up losing. I actually felt sorry for Marco Silva at the end. Soyuncu, he was lucky not to earn a yellow card himself. He tried everything, but the referee clearly owns him in fantasy. James Maddison, 2 points. Leicester City only woke up around the 65th minute, then they created a lot of chances on the counter. Maddison, he could have scored from a great cross by Vardy, but he hit it straight at Pickford. Jamie Vardy, 6 points. Everton sat really deep in this game, which made it difficult for Vardy to get in behind the defenders. Once Everton tired near the end, that's when Vardy took advantage, and he should have added a second goal with a header from close range. Despite his late winning goal, I'm not ready to add Iheanacho to my watch list until he starts games regularly. I thought the Everton fullback, Sidibe, I thought he was fantastic. I hope I'm not butchering his name. He provided the assist for Richarlison, and he looked a real threat pushing forward. The problem is the timing of fixtures, and this defeat leaves Everton just above the relegation zone. Liverpool, Alexander-Arnold, 10 points. Robertson, 2 points. Defensively, Liverpool, they were exposed numerous times by a quality Brighton team. And Alisson's red card, that didn't help. I was banking on more clean sheets from Liverpool because they have a good run of fixtures. But I'm not greedy. I would be grateful if Alexander-Arnold and Robertson continue to deliver attacking returns. Van Dijk, 17 points. He is worth noting because center backs can be safer from rotation as we push into December. Sadio Mane, 2 points. He did everything except score. Here are some of my notes from the first half. Some other notes from this game were Mo Salah, 2 points. He was subbed off early in the 68th minute, and he was shaking his head. Firmino, 2 points. He wasted so many chances, but at least he's getting into the right places to score, which is a positive for FPL. Wolves, Raul Jimenez, 5 points, but I haven't had a chance to watch the Wolves game, so I can't give a proper assessment of Jimenez and Wolves at this moment. It's the same as last week. There's only so much time to research, so I have to prioritize, especially with a quick deadline this week. Danny Ings, 9 points, 6 goals in his last 8 games. Ings is always a threat in the box, and that was a typical poacher's goal against Watford. The obvious concern is his injury record, so I am keeping tabs on the cheaper-priced Moussa at Sheffield United in case I'm forced into a change. James Ward-Prowse has been on my watch list for some time. The question is whether we can trust Southampton to invest heavily in their players. Tottenham, this is the best part. Son, 10 points. Dele Alli, 15 points. Bournemouth started off the better side, then Spurs grew into the game. On the previous video, I said I was excited to see if Mourinho could bring that counter-attacking threat that he had at Real Madrid. If he did, players like Son and Alli, they could benefit. There's not enough time to show you my notes, but I'll say that both Son and Alli could have finished on 20 points against Bournemouth. They had so many chances. There was a note on Harry Kane, 2 points. This was a strange one because it almost felt like he was disconnected from his teammates. The chemistry between Son and Alli was seamless, as we saw with that first goal. But when Kane received the ball in dangerous areas, he never once looked for an open teammate. Everything he did felt forced. It was interesting that Eriksen, he didn't even come on against Bournemouth. Kane's scoring potential could increase with Eriksen's creativity and delivery, as we saw in the Champions League game against Olympiacos. Lucas Moura, 1 point, he came off the bench, but he's a rotation risk, and for that reason, he doesn't even make my watch list. I'm also avoiding the Spurs goalkeeper and defenders for now. Alderweireld, 4 points. He has the ability to find the forwards making those runs in behind, but I'd rather wait until they begin a run of games without conceding. That's the strategy, top picks and high-risk players to avoid. So what's the plan for game week 15? At the moment, I'm considering one transfer. Transfers out Nick Pope, transfers in Henderson. What this does is it takes advantage of a swing in fixtures while providing the flexibility to continue to bench Lundstrom. Even though he's coming off 3 consecutive blanks, Lundstrom's high ownership makes him a difficult player to bench. Between Jimenez, Ings, and Lundstrom, who can score the most goals? At the moment, my money's on the true forwards. But defensively, let's say Lundstrom earns a clean sheet and assist against Newcastle. That would be a potential 9 points. If I bench him and start Henderson for Sheffield United cover, that's 6 points, which is only 3 points difference. Without Henderson, I could fall behind the full 9 points. So that's the plan. Nothing final, and I'm definitely going to wait until I have all the team news before making a decision, because I may even bank my transfer, so I have two free transfers for the weekend. I have no priorities, no major issues with my team, except possibly the goalkeeper. There's still a lot of work to do, but for now, I'm super grateful for the Green Arrows and to finally drop out of the Millionaires Club in the overall rank. Hopefully your team is also on the rise, but if not, don't worry. December is the perfect time to make up ground quickly. So that's going to be a wrap for today. Stay tuned for my next video. If you like my music, all my songs are free to download on the website. See the link in the description. Be sure to follow at Upper 90 Studios on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, where you'll get an inside scoop before YouTube. And if you're brand new to the channel, be sure to like and subscribe and turn on your post notifications, because this season is going to be incredible. Don't forget to subscribe to our email list and get your free fixture difficulty cheat sheet. Click the fantasy tab at upper90studios.com. If you're on a computer, it's at the top right of the page. If you're on a phone, it's at the bottom. Thanks for watching. See you soon.